learned just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul was writing to a young church from his prison cell. It's a letter born out of persecution and pain. It's not writing from a place of comfort and everything being hunky-dory. And yet Paul encourages his church and us to be rooted in Jesus so that we can bear with thankfulness the difficulties of life. And this isn't a kind of pie-in-the-sky kind of advice. It's a realistic survival tactic. It's about how we deal with it in the here and now, not just the hope for how things might somehow one day all be very, together and whole, which we know they will. But we have to live in the here and now, don't we, while we wait for that to happen. And so when life gets tough, we need to push our roots even deeper into Jesus so that what we build can withstand the storm. But how do we do that? You know, it sounds so easy, doesn't it? You know, when Paul says, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in your faith. But how do we do that? You know, and is it easy? Well, I don't think it is easy. I don't think it's meant to be easy. And sometimes it's good to look back at some ancient fathers of the faith to remind us that nobody has ever found it easy. I find this prayer really, really helpful. It's the prayer of Anselm, who was a Archbishop of Canterbury in the early sort of few hundreds. And again, it's slightly old-fashioned language, but I think you'll get the gist of it because it's beautiful and it speaks of the struggle. Come now, insignificant man, fly for a moment from your affairs. Escape for a little while from the tumult of your thoughts. Put aside now your weighty cares and leave your wearisome toils. Abandon yourself for a little to God and rest for a little in him. Enter the inner chamber of your soul, shut out everything save God, and what can be of help in your quest for him. And having locked the door, seek him out. Speak now, my whole heart, speak now to God. What a beautiful ringtone. You might be the Lord. Please don't apologise. That's one of the most lovely ringtones I've ever heard. That's what I just wanted to add to the poem. If you could get it to do it again in a few minutes, you'd just start over that, would be brilliant. Please don't worry about it. No, mine will go in a minute, and it won't be that beautiful, I can tell you. Yeah, speak now. My whole heart. Someone wants you.
I'm trying to switch the whole thing off.
Oh, but they might want you.
Oh, it's still going.
You better check someone doesn't really need you.
Turn it off for me.
It's on silent, so you need to put it back on while it's locked.
Oh, thank you.
Please don't worry. Please don't worry. Everyone's just glad it's not them, pal. It does them a favour. Speak now, my whole heart, speak now to God. I seek your countenance, O Lord, your countenance I seek. Come then, Lord my God, teach my heart where and how to seek you, where and how to find you. Lord, if you are not present here, where, since you are absent, shall I look for you? On the other hand, if you are everywhere, why then, since you are present, do I not see you? But surely you dwell in light inaccessible. See, Anselm knew that it is hard to see God. It's not easy. That often God is elusive. And yet, just like Paul, he encourages us to persevere. Like someone trying to ring us several times. At this point, it is really important that we issue a health warning. I've had already had a couple of conversations with people about guilt and about being released from guilt. And if you go away from this weekend feeling guilty that you don't spend 3 hours in your quiet time every morning, you will have really failed. Because that's not what this is about. I've listened to so many sermons and talks over the years where that's where what I've come away from. And I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to get up earlier. I'm going to do more of this. And, you know, that's just not the way to go. If you are an early morning person and it feels the most natural thing in the world to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend time with God, well, fantastic. I'm thrilled for you. But that's not how I work. And, you know, if you're in various stages of life, that early morning phase is not your own. You know, if you've got young children, you've got to get up in the middle of the night to get up and have some time on your own before they start to get up and do their stuff. And if you're the other end of life, it takes a long time to get up and get the day going. And, you know, why should we feel guilty about that? Rather, we invite God into that time. So just in case, you know, you are feeling a bit as though, oh, what if I'm going to be exposed for being a really, really unspiritual person? Well, the fear of being exposed is a very human fear, and this old advert might remind you of that we all have nightmares about this.
This is my fault, I chose to speak because of the wrong one, but I used to train GPs, and I used to use a lot of these adverts from the same company, because their tagline is, what's the worst that could happen? And I thought that was a really good way of training GPs. Sometimes you're thinking, what's the worst that could happen in this situation? Have I covered that possibility? But yeah, I hope you've heard.
Sorry, I think I've just done.
What's the worst that could happen?
So I just want to reassure you, fear of failure and being exposed is part of what it means to be human, isn't it? We all have that fear. And it's also part of what makes us anxious about seeking God and his presence. Because being in the presence of the one who knows everything about us is actually quite exposing, isn't it? It leaves us feeling quite vulnerable, and it can reveal our brokenness. But what we all need to know is that even broken things can bring new life. I wonder if you've noticed on the news about this beautiful tree. Yeah. It's amazing how this story evokes so much emotion in people, isn't it? Because, I mean, it's a tree, but it was a very beautiful tree in a very beautiful place. And the wanton vandalism of cutting that down and just, you know, just the destruction of that is just, yeah, there's something about it that makes us just feel really emotional, isn't there? And yet, you might have also picked up recently that what they've done is they've managed to grow saplings from the stump and roots around the tree, and that they're giving away those saplings. You can apply for one, can't you? To grow in your garden. And if you want a fantastic story about how the kingdom grows through plants and new life, do talk to John about his fig tree. He's got a great story about how that's come from generation to generation, from tiny saplings. And I think, you know, we all resonate, don't we, with that feeling of waste and loss and the pointless felling of that tree. And maybe it's a feeling we've had ourselves about things in life. Sometimes there are some things in life where it just feels like there's a waste and a really sort of violent cutting off of something beautiful in our lives. We might still feel the brokenness of that and wonder, well, in that broken state, how can I possibly bring fruit? How can I possibly be connected? But if we are to experience that rootedness in Christ, we need to take our whole selves to Him and let Him hold all of us. Now, in our sorrow and anger, the National Trust could have dug up that stump, couldn't they? Given up on that tree altogether. And actually, that's not what they did. They've protected that stump and looked to see what new life can come from that original tree. And that's a great picture of what God does in our lives. If we're prepared to go to Him with our whole selves, to admit to that brokenness, the things that maybe are not connected. I'm just going to read to you a liturgy, which I'm also going to give you a copy of to take with you for your personal reflection. You might want to close your eyes or just be quiet, and then when I've read it, I'm going to send you out to spend some time on your own or with a couple of trusted friends. Do not be distant, O Lord, lest I find this burden of loss too heavy and shrink from the necessary experience of my grief. Do not be distant, O Lord, lest I become so mired in yesterday's hurts that I miss entirely the living gifts this day might hold. Let me neither ignore my pain, pretending all is okay when it isn't, nor coddle and magnify my pain so that I dull my capacity to experience all that remains good in this life. For joy that denies sorrow is neither hard-won nor true nor eternal. It is not real joy at all. And sorrow that refuses to make space for the return of joy and hope in the end becomes nothing more than a temple for the worship of my own woundedness. So give me strength, O God, to feel this grief deeply, never to hide my heart from it, and to give me also hope enough to remain open to the surprising encounters with joy, as one on a woodland path might stumble suddenly into dapplings of golden light. Amidst the pain that lays these days, give me courage, O Lord. Courage to live them fully, to love and to allow myself to be loved, to remember, grieve and honour what was, to live with thanksgiving in what is and to invest in the hope of what will be. Be at work gilding these long heartbreaks with the advent of new joys, good friendships, true fellowships, unexpected delights. Remind me again and again of your goodness, your presence, your promises. For this is who we are, a people of the promise, a people shaped in the image of God, whose being generates all joy in the universe, yet who also weeps and grieves his brokenness. What I'm going to suggest we do is to spend some time until past 12. So we're going to come back in here at August 12 to worship before lunch. But you have various options. In the room next door, there is the opportunity to spend some time in some worship using the songs of Taisy. Because if you're like me, often, if you want to find a place where your brain stops, music is very helpful, just to be able to listen to God. So,
Lisa, Peter, are we going to be in there?
In that room there. Yeah.
Okay, not that one.
Yeah,
that one.
Sorry.
Accessible.
Brilliant, thank you, that's great. So around there, and that will be running a couple of times. So I think it lasts about 10 to 15 minutes, and then you can go off and do something else, and someone else can come in there. I'd like you to take your questions, and also one of these, so this liturgy that I just read, and there's a bit more of it on the other side as well, might be helpful to you. If that is, then there's a pile of them on the table here in the yellow folder. I'll come and give you some as you walk out the door. You might want to spend time completely on your own. Or you might be the sort of person that finds God more easily in a conversation with a friend. Both is good. Use that time however is best for you. The sun is shining. The world out there is beautiful. Let's go and see what God has to say to us. And then we will meet back here at 12:30 to just do some sun worship. Takes into lunch. Okay.